Let's pray. Father in heaven, our desire is that Lord Jesus Christ would be honored, that you, Father, would speak to our hearts, that the words that we hear would be the truth of the scripture that you would use to change our lives. We thank you, dear Father, for the work of grace that's already taken place. And surely pray for any that are here that do not know Christ as Savior, are not certain about eternal life. I pray, dear Father, that they may come to know Christ, whom to know is eternal life. To this end we pray in his holy name. Amen.
Amen. There you go, sir.
All right. Now, 1 Peter, if you will turn, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to read 4 verses, starting at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Can't get saved, you can't buy it, you can't get saved with material possessions or wealth or influence. But with the precious blood of Christ, that's how we're redeemed, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. There was a well-known speaker about 15 years ago who made the statement that it's the death of Christ that is important. And he, at the very least, played down the place of the blood and the importance of the blood. He obviously was immediately criticized by many, and rightly so. Because, as verse 19 says, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And now notice these words, as of a lamb. As of a lamb. I want to look at those words, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Because that's what the law required, that the lamb could not be a deficient one or a rejected one or one that had broken a leg or anything of the sort. It had to be a lamb without blemish or spot. The necessity of the lamb is made clear in the Bible, not only in this passage, but in many, many others. Genesis chapter 4, that first book of our Bible, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. And his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. In the Garden of Eden, God drew a line. And what could be had and what could not be had. To take what was forbidden was sin. And Adam and Eve took what was forbidden and they sinned. And now we just read a passage where two brothers each brought an offering. As you read it and view it, you would think to yourself, except for what you've learned from the Bible, and people who don't know what the Bible teaches, they read this passage and they say to themselves, what's wrong with Cain's offering? After all, he was a farmer. He was a tiller of the land, an agriculturist. And he brought the best that he had. And I'm sure it was good. But you see, God had drawn a line. And that line was a lamb. And that's why Abel's offering was accepted, because he did what God said, not because he was a shepherd. Shepherds are no better than farmers. But God drew a line and said it needs to be a lamb. And we know from reading in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 that after Adam and Eve sinned, God came down for his evening walk with them, and they hid from him. And when he wanted to know why, they said, because we're naked. How did you know you were naked? Because sin now was seen in their life. And they were naked before. But now, because they disobeyed God, it was sin. The disobedience was sin. And so they were spiritually as well as physically naked. That was the greater problem. That was the greater problem, because now they were driven out of the garden. Well, God isn't very understanding. He's very understanding. He understood what would be good for Adam and Eve, and so he told them that. Now, they tried to cover their nakedness. This is common, I understand. They tried to cover their nakedness. They took some great big fig leaves. And I would imagine they took some small vines and tried to sew them together, or did sew them together, and they made a covering for themselves. And if you've ever seen pictures, as many of the boys and girls have in Sunday school classes, it shows these big leaves covering their nakedness. But it wasn't adequate. It wasn't sufficient. So God made a covering for them. Remember that? God made a covering for them. And what he covered them with was animal skins. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, where do you get them coats of skins? They didn't have any stores back then. They didn't have any travel. Eventually, there were traveling men selling wares, but they didn't at that point. In order to have animal skins to cover them with, what had to happen to the animal? Tell me out loud. Yeah, animal had to die. a sacrifice was made. And God set in order to provide for their nakedness. And in that sacrifice, we see the picture indeed of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed. God's provision was total. It was an adequate covering. You see, the problem with Cain's offering is that it wasn't adequate because it didn't meet what God said was necessary. Your parents understood that. You know, God never requires anything of us but what He at some place in the Scriptures tells us about it. God never expects you to just somehow dream up what you ought to be doing or not doing. He always gives instruction. Cain and Abel were instructed. The Bible doesn't say this, so what I'm telling you is what would be my opinion, and that is that their parents told them what was needed for a sacrifice. You say, well, how? What makes your opinion right? God never expects anything of us but what He tells us.
That's right.
Okay? That's a basic principle you'll find anywhere in the Bible.
Right.
And so taking that principle and applying it to this event, Cain and Abel knew what should be done. But like so many people today, God tells us there is only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons and daughters of God. But there's so many people who think, well, if I just do the best I can, if I'm as religious as I can be, if I'm as kind as I can be, if I'm not like somebody else, if I'm better than others, then I can make it. No, that's like Cain. He did the best he could, but the best he could do was not adequate. And the best you and I can do is not adequate. It demands the meeting of what God gives instruction about.
Amen.
Now, Adam's sons, Cain and Abel, one obeyed God by faith and the other tried works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but of gift of God, not of what?
Works,
lest any man should boast. Cain did what he thought. Abel did what God said. And that same basic is applied to every person that has ever or ever will live. Abel's was accepted because it was God's way. It involved the blood. Cain's was rejected because it was not God's way. It did not involve blood. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why the name of Jesus? Because Jesus died for us. He died in our place. That's why Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The provision of the Lamb for one person. Turn to Genesis chapter 22, if you will. Genesis chapter 22. This is an account of an event that you and I will never be able to wrap our minds around. Abraham had to make a sacrifice. And what God required was something you and I will never understand. You might theologically be able to study it and grasp it theologically, but not you humanly. Because what was expected of Abraham is that he would take Isaac, his only son. Now, Sarah, his mother, she couldn't have children. Finally, when she was so old, there was no way she was going to have a child. She got pregnant. Man, I'll tell you, this would hit the newspaper if it happened today. 90-some-year-old lady, pregnant, gives birth, and is strong in the end. But then God says to Abraham, take him and sacrifice him. That means kill him. Go ahead, tell me you understand that. Which one of your kids do you want to look at and say, you understand that? You'll make a pile of stones. You'll put a pile of wood on it. Not only that, this young man's going to accompany you up the mountain. He's going to help carry the wood. And they get to the top. And Isaac says to his father Abraham, he says, Father, I see the wood and I see the altar. They'd have had to fire in a little pot probably, the hot coals. But where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Now, Abraham knew the answer. Boy, you're the sacrifice. Now, Isaac came to understand that too, because when you read the passage in chapter 22, it says in verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac, his son, tied him up. You say, well, yeah, I guess he had a time. You know, how in the world otherwise? No, that's what they did. They bound the animals. They tied them. And he tied his son, laid him on the wood. And then Abraham, picture this. Close your eyes if you need to and picture this there on that mountaintop alone. Were there tears running down Abraham's face? Was he seeing through the blur of the tears as he raised that knife and was about to thrust it into his son? You and I will never understand that. Now, don't make the same mistake that most people make. Well, why in the world would God do that? And begin to play the blame game, putting the blame on God. Now, many of you know what the outcome was. But for anyone that might not, when he was about ready to slay his son, then we read in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him. Now this is key. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked. You know what he saw? In a thicket, in a thorn bush, in a thicket behind him, there was a ram caught. Obviously, that ram had not made noise. You say, what do you mean, obviously? Because if when he was getting all this ready, that lamb was there in the thicket, whenever it came to the thicket, If it had made noise, you can count on it, Abraham would have run for that ram. God provided it. God provided it. When did God provide it? When it was needed.
Amen.
Now let's make an application here. So many could be. Listen, God will provide for you too when it's needed. You see, this is what Abraham is showing us is a picture of faith. Trust in God. He had faith to obey God and he trusted God. Did he understand God? No. He was human like you and I, and he did not understand God. Why would God ask me to do that? Now, anybody who would criticize Abraham for even considering doing it, let me tell you something, you couldn't walk in the sandals of Abraham, no matter how good you think you are. You read the rest of the story of Abraham's life, how God worked in his life, how God blessed his life, and you're busting your butt trying to make money. And you're doing all you can to make all the money that you can so you can make yourself comfortable. And if you'll just obey God with your life and live for God, God will provide for you and he'll make you comfortable. That's what he did with Abraham.
Right.
Abraham became a wealthy man. Abraham became, let me tell you, in his day, he'd have been what today we say was a man of men. Abraham was not your average guy, average Joe. Abraham was the kind of man that people looked up to and respected. It all came about as a result that he had faith in God and trusted God. And we're ready to criticize Abraham for even thinking about doing what God said to him when we can't even follow God to live. The things that God expects from us. Now this involved Isaac. Do you know that God has some lines for you as a mama and a daddy to draw for your children? Lines of godliness and righteousness that you need to apply for your kids. Now, I didn't say be an ogre and a man that says or a woman that says and nothing else and that's it and you do it my way, it's my way or the highway. No, not that kind of spirit. We got too many such knotheads running around calling themselves Christian. But a man stands firm. A mother who stands firm. And though the kids may not like what you're telling them, because they can't dispute your love, they can't dispute your attention to them, they can't dispute your consideration of them. They can't dispute your respect of them. You see, those are the things that are missing today. We've got Christian men. Look, I'm the head of this house. It's going to be my way. If you don't like it, boy, girl, you know there's the door. My way. But they don't know. Sad thing. When a son or a daughter doesn't know that mom or dad loves them. I believe it needs to be said, but I believe it needs to be lived.
Yes, sir.
Say it and live it. That's what's needed. Say it and live it. Well, let's go back to Abraham now, because Abraham, he turns around, he gets the ram caught in the thicket, Isaac's off the altar, the ram's on the altar, God is obeyed, and God is pleased, and God is provided. Now, as an individual, God has provided. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Just like this ram became a substitute for Isaac, okay, Jesus Christ is a substitute for us. Jesus Christ, God's, Abraham's only son, Isaac. God's only son, Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The wages of sin is death. You can pay your own price, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now think about this. Do I pay my own penalty, or do I accept the payment of the penalty that God made? Now, when Abraham was up there and Isaac was on the altar and the angel said, "Don't do him any harm." And he turned around and he saw the ram in the thicket. "Oh, yeah, that's nice. Huh, how about that?" And then went ahead and killed Isaac. That'd be really dumb, wouldn't it? Yeah, I can tell by your response. God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life. He says, "I have a gift for you. The wages of sin is death." That's going to be paid. The penalty must be paid. Now, either you can pay it for your own sin by dying and going to hell. You say, "No, wait a minute, where'd that get introduced?" That got introduced here in the book. The Bible makes it very clear that the unsaved spend eternity in the lake of fire, okay? And so, or you can accept the payment Jesus made. Now listen to me. It's just as foolish, and except for the seriousness of the outcome, it would be just as laughable as we say Abraham looks at the ram, says, "Oh, no thank you," and goes ahead and kills Isaac. We can't conceive it. And we can't conceive why you will not trust Christ. Why you will not receive the payment he made for your sin. And if you don't accept that payment, whatever the reason being, you will perish in your sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Thanks be to God for the gift. Father in heaven, even as we are about to commune, even as we are about, Father, to take the bread and the body, take the cup and drink in memory of the blood, we thank you, Father, that you've given to us this instruction to do the Lord's Supper, that we might remember what you have done for us. I thank you, Lord, for each one that has trusted Christ, sits here at this very time, confident and satisfied that their faith is in Christ. Certain that their eternity will be with you. I pray, Lord, for any that's not true of, that today will be a day in which they will take that step of faith and receive.
receive Jesus Christ, turning from their own sin and depending upon you rather than whatever else they may look